Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. This is episode number 145. We're recording this on Monday, July 24th, the Monday after San Diego Comic-Con. So we have lots to talk about, lots of exciting stuff we saw and heard. And well, no, we shouldn't say that because we didn't go.
Other people saw and heard.
Right.
We lived vicariously through other people.
We did, through Twitter and through websites and YouTube and everything else, but... So we have some good stuff to talk about here. My two hosts, you just heard here on the voices with me there. We have Lizzie. Lizzie, how are you?
Hello, I'm doing lovely.
Lovely. And Tim, yes. How are you?
Lou, doing well.
Good deal. Did you guys have a good weekend of Comic-Con stuff?
I tried. I was pretty busy doing some weekend warrioring housework, but I did try to keep up on some things as best I could.
Did you get to rent some good tools and...
Jackhammer.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a weekend of jackhammering. Good times.
Nice.
I was also weekend warrioring with my office decoration project, which is almost done. I just have like a couple little touches, but the walls are painted, the curtains are up, and I love my office, which I'm sitting in right now. So
we're going to need pictures of this office.
What?
We're going to need pictures of this office.
Oh, I will send some because I have a Narnia closet and a Star Wars little like Star Wars nook, and I have like secret little hideaways and a tropical oasis and a Paris corner. It's magical.
Awesome. That sounds really awesome.
It's like my brain exploded on the walls, and in the best way, like in a good way.
All I saw was the tropical oasis, and just that looked fantastic.
Right? I can't wait to show it off. I'll do a virtual tour on, like, Snapchat or Instagram or something.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
Yeah. Get ready. Awesome. So I was doing that. And trying to stay in touch with Comic-Con stuff, too. But really, I wasn't as connected as I have been in the past.
I know. I wanted these much more connected than I was. I kept seeing bits and pieces. I saw headlines but didn't really dive into a lot of the other stuff. So, unfortunately...
Yeah, that's sort of where I was, too.
Yeah. It felt very disconnected, unfortunately, but... More of that stuff's coming out, and I think this year seems to be the first year that, I mean, more mainstream shows in news networks are embracing Comic-Con and really giving us more information. I mean, I was watching Entertainment Weekly as I was kind of getting ready here, as it was on in the background, and they had a San Diego Comic-Con, you know, kind of recap. I'm like, really? Like, on Entertainment Weekly?
Well, now that all the major networks go out because they all have stuff airing, you know, it makes sense that they've got to cover it more.
True.
Other networks have to cover it more. You know?
And I think it's funny how a lot of these bigger networks and bigger, both television networks and podcast networks and stuff are doing more coverage like what real fans had done in the past. So it's kind of really strange, but
it
cool.
Is. It's funny.
Cool at the same time. Before nerds we are taking over the world. What's that?
I said nerds are taking over the world still.
We are.
Yeah.
Before we get into Comic-Con stuff, let's just do a quick update for the movies, the weekend box office. So it's on Monday, we have actual numbers instead of estimates. Number one at the box office this week was Dunkirk, $50.5 million for the weekend.
Awesome movie.
You want to definitely dive into that one?
My wife and I contributed to that, and it was a fantastic film. Love it.
My wife and I contributed as well, too, and I have direct opposite reaction that you did. So I walked out shaking my head going, what did I just pay for?
It was incredible.
Oh, no, reaction? Dang.
It was one of the most creatively written and directed war films I've ever seen.
There were some good visuals, I'll give you that. Creative is one way to put it. Steaming pile of dung is another way to put it.
I
really wanted to like it. And
it's because your expectations were too high.
No, I don't think they were. I wasn't expecting, the be-all, end-all war movie. I was expecting something different than we've had on other war movies, and we got something different, all right. But I didn't follow it. It didn't feel... I never got the sense of these guys were in real peril. I mean, the opening was awesome. The first, they say, 5 minutes, I thought, oh, good, we're going to get a good movie here. This is, I feel the tension. I see what these guys are going through. I kind of feel that. I'm like, well, okay. And then he gets to the beach. I'm like, okay, it's kind of getting a little loosey-goosey here. We're not really feeling the tension anymore. I mean, we had these guys under fire, in the very beginning. Now they're on the beach. They're just kind of hanging out. I'm like, okay. And they're trying to build the tension that these guys are trying to get off the beach. And there was a lot of them there, obviously, but there was never really that call to, hey, we got to get out of here, you know? And I don't know. I just did not feel it. I'm sorry.
I'll tell you, through the whole movie, I was through the whole movie and even afterwards in the end with like this sense of doom and anticipation in my gut. Because it was just, you're just constantly waiting for the next thing, the next bad thing to happen. You're waiting for the next, you know, air raid or something else. And it was, oh yeah, Lou, I had a completely different emotional reaction to it.
Yeah, obviously, and everybody else did too. Everybody on Slack that we talked to on from our network, everybody loved it. And I'm like, I'm the only one. I'm like, I feel really bad for just this movie, but I just didn't like the movie. It didn't feel genuine to me. I mean, some of the stuff just seemed like I didn't get that moment of tension that everybody else said they had. They ramped it up a little bit and then they kind of pulled back. I'm like, okay, now there's nothing threatening really.
I guess everybody can't like everything, but, but like I don't have a wife. And so I didn't take her to see it. And my dad went, and he didn't take his wife either. My mom and her two best friends went to Wonder Woman, and my dad and his two best friends went to Dunkirk, which I think is pretty adorable.
That's cool.
And dad's report was good, and he's very discerning about war movies. And movies in general. He rarely has like this high praise of like whatever. And he said it was challenging, which I thought was an interesting like sort of feedback about it, and really felt like the way that they told the story based on like the time jumps and the way that they told the three different like lengths of time of the stories was just really engaging and intriguing to him, and was a different way to tell a war movie story, especially in the context of the events of Dunkirk. So I only have his, I haven't seen it yet. I want to, there's so many movies to see right now. I'm trying to sparse it out.
I have one request for you two, seeing how you two are hosts on our new movie Rampage show. Mm-hmm. When you guys do Dunkirk, can I please be on?
I heard that request. That'd be great.
I mean, I want you guys to talk me into liking it. I mean, I'll definitely give it another shot and see it. But I had so many weird problems with the movie. It wasn't just the timing. It wasn't just the confusing storyline. It was a lot of things in there. And I've jotted some notes down too, but. I'll save them for when we do our full spoiler-ish movie Rampage, because, I mean, it's an important movie, and I just wish it was more to my liking.
I have to say, probably the thing that I appreciated most about the movie was that in a nearly full theater, my wife and I were among the youngest people in that room. There were a lot of veterans in that room, and that, to me, that alone was an emotional experience. You know, we got in there reasonably early. There was, you know, the place was maybe only, you know, 20% full, and looking around, a lot of older folks in here. That's nice. Mm-hmm. And we got our seats, and I'm just watching more and more people file in, you know, very clearly of the age of, you know, being World War II or Korean War veterans. And I like that. I like that.
Interesting.
That was, I really appreciated that a lot. So.
Yeah, because you're knowing the emotional connection of the people around you to the events and just like that time period is really cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, definitely. And it helps to set the mood and the tone too. If the whole audience has the same kind of thought process going in, especially if it's people that were, you know, of that age, that makes a world of difference in your viewing experience. I mean, today viewing experience in movie theaters are so much more removed from what they were years ago when the whole audience got into the movie. You know, now it's like you don't see that anymore. So,
true. Very true.
Let's see. So rounding out the top five here, we had Girls Trip at number two.
Which we have to take a moment and talk about.
Okay. Boy, let me finish. So it was $31.2 million, did very well. Yeah, we haven't seen that many weeks this year where we've had a number one and two movie this close together. Usually it's like number one movie is a runaway and everything else is like, you know, a tenth of it. So it's good to see that Dunkirk did 50 and Girls Trip did 31.
P.S. That's in my movie draft. So hello. I just kicked Valerian's butt, tell you that much.
No kidding. No kidding. Both these ladies did.
Okay, so girls trip. I walked into it with like whatever expectations. I was like, okay, it'll be like, I don't know what I thought it would be like, but just something like fun and just random. And I thought it was going to be a lot raunchier than it was. And it wasn't quite as raunchy as I thought it was going to be, but, it felt, you know, let's say the episode we were talking about how like the midnight showing theater experience has changed and it doesn't feel like that community sort of thing anymore. Well, this was that old feeling of the movies again, of like everybody in sync and like reacting at the same time. And like the two women, I had one woman on the next, on the left side of me who was by herself and two women on the right side of me who were together. And the four of us were just like talking and like laughing, and the whole theater was talking and laughing and just reacting, and like anything that happened, we were all in it together. And it was the most fun I've had at the movies in such a long time. And it just felt like that old, I don't know, that old feeling of going to the movies and making random stranger friends. And it was heartfelt. It was hilarious. There's like this whole part in the club with where they're all three of them are, or the four of them are on absinthe, and they're like, Queen Latifah, like, just kills me. I can't. It was so funny. I just cannot stress that enough. And so I had a free movie ticket because of a blog conference I went to, but I would pay to go see it again because it was that hilarious. And I just busted my gut laughing so hard. So good. I don't know that I would recommend it to you gents, but ladies, take your friends and go see this movie because it's so much fun. And it's just wonderful. So
a good comedy in a theater is definitely a good experience.
Yeah.
So I'm happy you had a good time.
Yeah,
just,
me too.
Just the laughter. It was just so fun. Yeah. So I'm glad this did so well. We were talking about it afterwards. The four of us like were standing around and just chatting about the movie. And the one woman was like, I really hope this does well. And I was like, I think that it will. You know, it's got a great cast. And Queen Latifah, you know, she really brings people to the box office too. So yeah, I'm glad this did as good as it did, and I hope it keeps going because it's so funny.
Good. That's good to hear.
Yeah. Ooh, sorry.
Just dropped easy something. There. Wow.
That's how excited I am.
Okay, so the rest of the top five at the box office, Spider-Man Homecoming in its third week made another $22 million, bringing its total to $251. War for Planet of the Apes brought another $20 million in its second week. That's up to $98 million. And Valerian, City of a Thousand Planets, only brought in $17 million in its first week. Now, I did get to see Valerian as well. I did a rare two-movie weekend this week.
Oh.
So I did see both of those. I actually really enjoyed Valerian. I thought it was a pretty well-done movie. I wasn't expecting a lot out of it, but thought the chemistry between the two leads was good, and the story was pretty decent. And it had a lot of the same vibe as... I'm losing my train of thought. What was the last movie? Fifth Element.
Fifth Element.
Yeah.
Fifth Element, yeah.
Had a lot of the same vibes. Very good visuals. Kind of amazing, kind of out-of-the-box thinking and that kind of stuff. So it was fun.
As long as it's more Fifth Element and less Jupiter Ascending, then.
Well, I didn't see Jupiter Ascending because it got such bad reviews.
Oh, yeah. So, well, good.
I don't know. But, yeah, I did enjoy Valerian. So I would say it's not bad to see. Let's see. Next week, the big movies are going to be The Emoji Movie and Atomic Blonde.
Atomic Blonde. I cannot wait.
Me too.
Oh, so excited.
Oh, I think it's going to be fantastic. I actually, this weekend, got the soundtrack for it.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
And it is such a cool soundtrack. It's...
What's on the soundtrack?
Yeah.
It is... Oh, gosh.
It's all 80s stuff, right?
Yes, lots of 80s, almost exclusively 80s stuff.
That's my age genre.
And let me just pull it up here quick. So you've got a lot of David Bowie, George Michael. Then there is some newer stuff. You got, you know, a little bit of Marilyn Manson that's in here, The Clash. Some really, really cool stuff. So I listened through it probably about three times. And just picked up like this really cool vibe from the movie. So I'm kind of expecting, I now have a feel for what I'm going into with this movie, I think, just based on the soundtrack. Really, yep. Really cool. I definitely recommend it.
I had read something last week on the thing about the songs being used in the movie were off in the 80s and kind of set the tone.
Yeah.
And it sounded really good. I'm like, that sounds awesome because, you know, I grew up in the 80s, so that's pretty cool.
Yep.
Exactly. I love the 80s so much. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I'm looking at the list of songs. It looks like it's going to be awesome. Can't wait. So, yeah, that's definitely one movie I'm going to see in the theater.
Definitely.
Okay, well, let's get right into Comic-Con stuff then. So, what was the number one takeaway from each one of you guys so far of what you've seen? I mean, if you had to name one thing that you've seen from San Diego that really impressed you or really said, yes, I can't wait, what was it?
Already Player One. I am so excited. I think it's partly because I've already seen a trailer for Thor and Justice League and Kingsman. I mean, the Thor trailer really has me jazzed for Thor, and I know Tim has some thoughts too, but Ready Player One, because it was like a new trailer, and it's so anticipated because I love that book. And, you know, again, with the 80s and everything, and that's like my favorite genre, so all the iconic movies that we all love and everything. So I am jazzed for that movie. So that trailer was awesome.
Kingsman, I think, was the thing that I appreciated the most. You know, Justice League, I'm not a huge DC fan, and we'll talk more about the trailer, but, you know, I liked the trailer. It was pretty decent. Yeah, Thor, I had some issues with. I liked the first trailer better than this one, although I'm kind of coming around on this one a bit. Ready Player One was great. I thought it had some phenomenal visuals. Kingsman, I love the story of Kingsman, and I'm so thrilled about where this one is going, and I think it's great. So that was the big thing for me.
I need to see the first Kingsman because I think I'll really like it, and I love Colin Firth. I just think I think I'll really get into all of that and really enjoy it. I just don't know why I missed the first one. I just did, so I need to.
You know, I'm in the same boat, Lizzie. I never saw the first one. It interested me, but for some reason, I don't know. Maybe I thought, like, yeah, that's a Bond knockoff, man. I don't really need to see that.
Yeah, I felt the same way.
Yeah.
I felt the same way.
It got good reviews. I'm like, okay, I got to see this then. And I never did. And now the second one's out. I'm like, okay, I got to see the first one before I see the second one. So
same.
I'll have to check that out. Yeah, I'm glad we're on the same page there.
Okay, packed, Lou. We have to watch it before
Kingsman comes out. Yeah.
Okay. And then we'll join Tim on the Kingsman parade.
There we go. Now, I am the same boat with you for Ready Player One as well. The trailer I thought was amazing. I think I've said it before on the show that I do listen to the audiobook for Ready Player One once a year. I do it in July. I just finished it again. So the trailer came out like right when I was finishing the book. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. I can't wait. And, you know, I'm still nervous for the movie. I hope they do the book justice because the book is such a well-written book.
Such a good book.
So many, you know, 80s references that are just so iconic to my childhood. I don't want them to screw this movie up. I'm really nervous about that, but I can't wait.
I mean, do you feel like this trailer has allayed some of your fears?
Because
it's such a good trailer.
Oh, yeah. No, it definitely did. It made me feel a lot better about the upcoming movie. I'm not as nervous as I was. And I guess I wasn't as nervous with Spielberg directing it, but, you know, you never know what you're going to get. So
knowing that, like, the king of those movies is in charge of this is
right.
It's everything. It's exactly who should have been directing it.
Although you know, I'll tell you, I think the trailer hit on Saturday, I think, of Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing stuff in the yard, and all of a sudden I saw that, I got to check this out. So I searched my phone, searched for, you know, Ready Player One trailer, and I found one. Oh, I'm going to play this. And it must have been somebody's fan trailer that's when he made up. I'm like, okay,
oops.
It's a teaser, so it was just kind of focusing in on a Pac-Man game and the out of order sign, and kind of zooms in, and it just goes to like a red screen. The Ready Player One logo comes up, and they're playing a Rush song, and I'm like, okay, that's not.
Were
really.
You like, no?
I'm like, they're not showing it. This is what they showed at San Diego. I'm like, come on, this can't be right. And then it was funny because it was. It wasn't the same Rush song they played in the trailer from Comic-Con. And I'm like, they're giving a lot of the movie away with just the song. I'm like, you can't do that.
Right.
And I was like, okay. So I looked again. I'm like, oh, this must be the real trailer. Okay. I feel much better now. But I was like, this is what they showed? I'm like, come on. This is crazy.
That's really funny.
You get burned by the internet all the time. So yeah.
Can't trust
the
that
trailers that I think we need to talk about. I mean, first, we might as well do Ready Player One. So, imagery in the trailer. I mean, I think it's fantastic. I like the way they talk about they're bringing things out of the book, even in the trailer. The generation of missing millions was talked about in the book.
Yeah, the stacks
Yep, and showing the stacks, that was pretty cool to see that.
That was really cool.
The one thing that didn't quite work for me was the whole showing of the IOI avatars. When they had their uniforms, the IOI was in the face, and it had, you know, maybe they're IOI in the face and their number on their chest. I'm like, okay, it's not the impression I got from what they said in the book. It looked kind of cool, but they looked more like robots than, you know, human avatars.
Yeah, but I don't know. It didn't bother me, but I did think it was different than, I guess. But it's tough with books because it's always going to be a little different than what you pictured.
Right.
But I think I can get on board with the switch. I think that's an important piece with books, is like, as long as you can get on board with the changes,
right?
Then it's okay if they change it, because plenty of things are going to change. It's just something that has to be able to be reminiscent of what you love, or you know, whatever. At least palatable for people who are deep fans. So, I loved how the stacks looked. I thought that was cool. And like,
that looks exactly like I imagined it.
Oh, and like how they roll into the Oasis is like really cool when he's first like logging in and everything.
I just thought
that was very 80s, like iconic sort of Tron looking, and like really.
Right. And you get that one image of the distracted globe, the dance club that they had in one of the scenes in the book. That was kind of cool. Oh. And you saw the DeLorean.
The DeLorean and the whole car chase with the DeLorean, and like, I cannot wait.
Yep.
I cannot wait.
Yeah, I saw all those things, and I'm thinking back to everything else in the book, and I'm like, I can't wait to see everything else they do. You know,
I know. I wonder what's going to get left X-Wing out.
And they show his
the Batmobile, and like,
yeah, well, yeah, and you know, his ship, the Vonnegut, which is supposed to be a Firefly class ship. I'm like, I can't wait to show all these things. It's going to be awesome. Every franchise we ever loved is going to be wrapped up into one movie.
Which is sort of what they do. I love how that happens in Lego, like all the Lego movie, Lego movie, because they have all those properties. So it's going to feel like, I felt like that, the Lego movie sort of felt a little like that, where you're like, all the things, everybody together,
right.
And I feel like Ready Player One is going to have a lot of that, just like that sort of excitement of you're seeing all the things that you love, like the Iron Giant business. I love this trailer. I just want to watch it on repeat. And I think I'm going to do your July reread. I mean, I know I'm coming in the tail end of July, but I pumped through that book like nobody's business. So it's not on my every year read list, but I think it's going to need to be, because I haven't read it in a while. So I need to read it again.
No, Tim, I know you've been quiet because you have not read the book.
I have not.
But you know the premise.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the premise of it and the general story. And I'll tell you, I was seeing the trailer, I was pretty stoked about it. I love the visuals. I definitely got to recognize the different call-outs to a lot of the different films and other things that we're familiar with in there. The Tron vibe I definitely felt, particularly with the motorcycle. When they had that in the one shot. I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It should be a great movie.
Yes.
Now, are you going to read the book before the movie comes out?
I am. Yeah, that's definitely my goal. I need to go out and pick it up and blast through it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, so let's see. What's next on our trailer tour de force here? I guess we'll start with Justice League, I guess. So, different feel to this trailer than we saw from the original trailer that we've seen for the last few months. I feel like we got a better feel for what the movie's going to be like. The first trailer was really just a bunch of images thrown on screen, get you excited about characters coming together and who they are, and you know, not much dialogue, and just you really didn't get a sense of where the battle was going or who was fighting who. Now we're getting more detail about that. So we're feeling like I know what the movie's going to be like now.
Oh, absolutely.
I got to say, I didn't watch it because I don't care. I mean, I'm going to see it, but like only because I feel like I have to, and because I really did like Wonder Woman, but I'm so disillusioned about the DC universe that I'm like, I don't care. But I'll watch it, and I don't care about the trailer. So I didn't really watch it, and I don't care.
I think there was a lot of recognition when they pulled this trailer together that Wonder Woman did so well because she was the first character that we saw in this trailer, and she certainly had more time in the trailer than anyone else did.
Right.
Yeah, I think they definitely are going to play on that.
Yeah.
Just because of the reception and, you know, the reception to Batman versus Superman was obviously overwhelmingly negative. And so, you know, and Wonder Woman is the opposite. And just the whole tone of Wonder Woman was really a breath of fresh air, like we've talked about. So hopefully that's sort of more of the tone of if that's what the tone of this of Justice League is, which I hope it is, then I'll be really happy. But I'm going in with very low expectations, to be honest. So yeah, I don't care about the new trailers. I mean, I'll watch it, but like I said,
it'll be interesting. They showed along with showing a lot of Wonder Woman, there were also a number of scenes in Themyscira.
Which
I was actually
makes me happy.
Surprised by.
Yeah, I was surprised by that too. I was like, wait, my different trailer.
So, okay, yeah, you just made me want to watch the trailer now.
No, and you absolutely should. That was something I didn't expect. They definitely did not pay a whole heck of a lot of heed to the other characters. Cyborg had very little time in the trailer, and I think he's probably one of the cooler characters.
Aquaman had a pretty good amount of time, and they showed Flash quite a bit, I thought. I mean,
well, he's going to be the comic relief, so I think I hope they play a lot on him.
Yeah, and that's pretty much the spin that you get in this, is that Flash is definitely the comic relief.
Right.
And Aquaman is the one who's, you know, very serious and stern. I'm still disappointed that they can't count because of Trident. And I
what are
know
they
I mentioned this
a
before.
Septent?
It's a trident that he has, folks. If you put more than three prongs on it, it is no longer a trident. Learn how to freaking count.
You're very right there. I will definitely give you that.
I am excited about Khal Drogo being Aquaman, though, because he is a dreamtastic.
And it just seems, from what we've seen in the trailers, it seems that he plays the part really well. I mean, he's just this really ripped, buff, mean-looking...
Yeah.
Dude, and I think it really works well. And I'm looking
he's
forward
definitely
going to
be playing the straight man to everybody else. He's definitely that. Yeah. I am, you know, I kind of look at him as the, you know, the Worf of Justice League.
Yes.
You know, he's a straight man that's never funny. He's never
I love
laugh.
That you
he's
just said
yeah,
that.
Whatever. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, Batman, we saw some of, not a whole heck of a lot.
Yep.
The thing that sticks with me, and I know that, you know, the internet, as well as a little bit of discussion that we had in Slack, I know Jovial Jay was not so jovial about the very last scene of this trailer. And it kind of, I mean, it was, I don't know. I wasn't too thrilled about the fact I've probably mentioned it before. I despise Superman. Despise.
Okay.
Do not like Superman.
No.
And it seems, and this is, I'm not spoiling anything because I'm just simply drawing a conclusion from what they showed in the trailer. The end of the trailer seems to allude that Superman has returned. And as you know, if you unfortunately saw Batman versus Superman, Superman apparently died at the end of that film.
Did you see it or no?
Yeah, sadly.
Oh, okay. Sadly, me too.
I fell asleep a couple times, which I think was appropriate. I think that's actually what they were trying to do. Anyway.
Did you?
But, oh yeah.
I didn't fall asleep. I can't fall asleep in the theater.
Oh, no, it wasn't in the theater. I was watching in the hotel room.
I can fall asleep anywhere.
Oh, then sure.
I wasn't going to see that trash in the theater.
Okay, that does make sense. See, I felt obligated. I was like, well, okay, like, I have to give it a chance, you know, like, the nerd obligation. And then, like, so that's how I feel about this one. But I do think it looks already better than the trailer for BVS. Like, the trailer was a hot mess, and I already knew it was going to suck. So I went in thinking it was going to suck and found out, oh, it sucked.
Yeah. But
I don't think it'll suck as bad.
I don't think so either. Justice League looks good. It is a movie I will definitely see in the theater.
Yeah, see, I will
and,
too.
And I'm going to look at this as it's a fun popcorn movie. I mean, if nothing else, I mean, maybe these movies aren't going to be Academy Award winning movies. They don't have great storylines. They don't have, but
definitely not.
If I can go to the movie and have some popcorn and some soda and enjoy it, as just a fun movie, sure.
Yeah.
And anybody who didn't think Superman was coming back,
Exactly. There's no way they're not bringing him back.
Let's see. This is one of our main properties we've had forever.
Yeah.
Let's just do away with it. We're not making money with him. Let's just kill him off. Yeah. Okay.
Well, and also everybody who reads the comics knows that he doesn't stay dead. So
exactly.
It's not feasable for anybody to think he's never coming back. That's just ridiculous. No, right. To pull the Band-Aid now in the trailer seems a bit stupid, but.
Yeah, and like I said, the only allude to it, some people speculate that it could be a Green Lantern.
Yeah.
There's also some thought that, it's Superman, but apparently when Superman was resurrected in the comics, he came back as basically an evil doppelganger of himself.
He came back as four characters, didn't he?
Sure.
Because when he died, they split off into four books. They had the kid, they had the cyborg Superman, they had the dark one, and something else.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Tim sounds tired. Sure. Whatever.
Yeah.
We're over at DC.
But, I'm expecting something better.
I actually think it's a pretty... Oh, go ahead.
I'm expecting something better than Suicide Squad, which I actually enjoyed.
I liked Suicide Squad.
It was a fun movie. I'm not expecting it to be as good as Wonder Woman, but it should be a fun film. So I'll definitely see it. And it was a good trailer.
Okay, good.
Wow. Yeah, I'm definitely going to see it too. And I think the point, Lizzie made about the whole ripping the Band-Aid off and, showing that he's coming back now may have been a mistake in the trailer, but I think that's the reason why they did it, because we know he's coming back. I mean, why not just out with it? I mean, don't try to hide it.
I get that.
Don't try to hide that. Star Trek Into Darkness is really Khan, and we're gonna no, it's not Khan. Look over there. Look over there. Don't look over here. It just own it.
Yeah, I do get that. And for the non nerd public who doesn't know any of that, then you're already saying like, hey, come back for what you liked. What you like, if you like Man of Steel, which obviously you know how I feel about that, but also garbage, so. Giant steaming pile of garbage, worse than Dunkirk, for sure, worse than Dunkirk. Way worse than Dunkirk. Well,
there's a lot of movies that were worse than Dunkirk, because Dunkirk was that good.
Yes, I think I'll like it too, and really we can only give...
I was trying to troll everybody on Twitter even more over the weekend and come up with some other really bad movie and say it was almost as good as that. But I didn't go there. I was going to try to find something, but I didn't. I didn't stoop that low. Let's see, next trailer we have to talk about here is Thor Ragnarok. This is our second trailer for Thor.
Bow wow, yeah.
This looked pretty cool, huh?
It looks so good. Come on, Tim. Come on.
Tim, did you not like Thor Ragnarok?
Tim.
The first Ragnarok trailer, loved it. Thought it was fantastic.
Really?
What you got against this one? Yeah, I don't understand.
We're at odds tonight, you and I.
What is wrong with you two?
This trailer, I kind of have a love-hate relationship with. Originally, the first time I saw the trailer, I was like, what the hell are they doing?
But then I tweeted that you were wrong and you learned.
It has this weird vibe that I'm still very ambivalent about, and I just don't know.
I love it.
I've seen it now maybe three or four times, and each time I watch it, I pick up on some other things, and my opinion softens a little bit, and I'm kind of moving a little bit more moderate, I guess, on it. It has some moments. It definitely has some good points of levity. There are still some things that I don't like about it from what I'm seeing. Probably the thing that I like most about it is at the very end. And it's funny because we're talking two trailers in a row here and the very ending of those trailers and how meaningful they are, both good and bad. the very last scene of this trailer, or one of the last scenes, is Thor having a discussion with Hulk.
Yeah, I loved it.
It was so funny.
It's funny, but it also shows, you know, big picture, it shows an evolution of Hulk.
Yeah, it does.
You know,
you're right.
Going from Hulk smash to now having some partial sentences. And I think that is just such a great indicator of the potential for Hulk and where he's going to go. Even though earlier in the trailer, we had Thor talking to Bruce Banner, and they were talking and Thor mentions that they fought, and Banner has no recollection of the battle whatsoever.
Right.
Of Thor fighting Hulk. And of course it's funny because, you know, he says, well, did I win? And Thor says, no. And Banner says something like, well, that doesn't sound right.
That doesn't sound right.
and that was really funny, but it's interesting that while we're seeing an evolution of the Hulk, Banner and the Hulk are still two very separate entities.
Right.
And I'm really intrigued by the possibility, by the potential of where this is going to go. And I think it was mentioned, it was funny because there were some kind of different things said back in D23, where Mark Ruffalo, who plays Banner, had made a statement to the media saying there absolutely is never going to be a Hulk movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, I actually don't remember who it was. Maybe Kevin Feige, who said, don't discount, you know, never say never. Don't okay. discount the fact that, you know, it's we haven't talked about it yet, but it could possibly happen. So, you know, some interesting statements there, but at least with Hulk being peppered into these movies, I like that we're still seeing an evolution of him, even though he's not getting his own film as of yet.
Yep.
Well, and I think
we're
this
completely
is...
ignoring any other Hulk movies that were ever made ever in the history of all time.
No, we're not. We are not. No, we're not. Incredible Hulk counts. That Eric Bana Hulk doesn't count because that thing is horrible. You ever gone back and watched that thing? It's like I want to rip my eyes out.
They both had their bad moments. So,
I do really enjoy the Incredible Hulk. I just think there are some really redeeming qualities, and it gets looked over. Just it didn't do well, and there's reasons why. But I like it, and it's in my head canon. So, and it's in canon because, you know, plenty of things have been mentioned and are a part of that. So it's part of the greater universe. We just, whatever. I am pumped. I think it's going to be the greatest bridge that we get to Infinity War because of all the pieces that they're going to put together. The fact that Thor and Hulk are together. It's the biggest one that we have that will get us. I think that will give us some of those building blocks to get to Thanos and everything, especially with, Hela. I'm not sure if they're going to go with like the Thanos falling in love with death via her, which would be really interesting. Mm. I don't know if they're going that route, but I could just see that being a way to bring Thanos in with her, you know, because of his whole falling in love with death thing, love, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. So I think this is going to be like a huge building block to Infinity War, but it's also its own story, which is when Marvel works the best, is when they put those breadcrumbs in, but also do its singular storytelling. So, I'm so pumped for this. Like, I jazz for this movie. Justice League, what? Like, forget it. It's all about Thor. 100%.
I am much more on board with Thor Ragnarok now with the second trailer than the first one. The first one seemed like it was such a weird trailer to me that it was so out of the ordinary. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to like this movie, but
they're definitely both huge departures from what they have done with Thor. And I was talking with one of my newest Twitter friends, Daryl. We had a whole, cause he's all about Justice League and I'm all about Thor. And so we were like having a GIF war. We're having a whole like GIF reaction war and it was pretty hilarious. And so we were talking about this and how this feels like such a departure. And I said, dude, if the other two movies had felt like this, I probably would have liked them more. Because Thor 2 is right down with Iron Man 2, and they're just not, I just didn't like it very much. It was too, like, Shakespearean doom and gloom without the, like, I don't know. It just wasn't, it didn't feel like it fit in well with what Marvel had been doing. And not a strong bad guy. It was like, you know. And Thor 1 is great. It's just a formulaic origin story. So it's not, Hemsworth brings a lot to the table in what he brings to Thor. So I think it works, but it's not like one of the strongest. And I think this feels like its own thing. Really fun, but also like all of the action that you want from a Thor movie. So I think, I wish the others had had this tone because I feel like this tone is so, so different. But I think they're also playing off the success of Guardians and everything because it feels like it's got a bit of a Guardians thing to me.
Yeah, there's definitely a Guardians vibe. They kind of are almost hitting like this, like even the colors and stuff they're using. It's like a 70s disco-y kind of thing. And
yeah, it's like the neon, like the bright neon in the 80s, like colors. And I think it's more 80s, but maybe 70s.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's kind of the 80s video game thing. Like when the, you know, the title comes in, it's like, you know, outlines of the thing going away from you and coming back. It did feel very 80s video game-ish.
I think one of the reasons why I like the first Ragnarok trailer better than this one is because the first one left me with a lot of questions. And I like that for a trailer, that it compels me to want to see the movie so I get answers to those questions. This trailer gave me a lot of those answers, or at least furthered me down that path.
Yeah, it definitely set the tone.
Yeah. And, you know, the first trailer had me wondering, what's the role of Loki in this? And this trailer kind of answered that question, or seemingly.
I really hope we get a puny god reference in this movie.
That would be great. That would be great. I mean, I did like in this trailer that, you know, we see that Thor basically, they mentioned, hey, we have to build the team, which is just this great call out to the Avengers, you know, Thor acknowledging the fact that they've had a team before and they did awesome things, and now he and Hulk are together, and well, who else can we pull into this? Right. And obviously, they're going to be really reluctant to bring Loki in. So I'm definitely looking forward to how that whole discussion is going to happen.
Well, and I think it's also sort of funny because coming out of Civil War and all the little teasers that they did for with Mark and Chris of being like not invited into the party. And so this is sort of like their hit back to be like, whatever, we'll start our own group, you know? Like, you're so right. I think it's sort of funny on a different level because of that. So like, they're like, whatever, do your dumb Earth thing. We have our own, we have our own group to make, like, bye, which I sort of think is hilarious. And I love, that Loki's going to be involved because Loki is hashtag boyfriend. Major boyfriend, serious boyfriend. Heimdall too. Heimdall's another boyfriend. I want a lot more Heimdall in this because boyfriend.
Okay, so I think we're all on board for Thor as well. What about the last trailer we have here to talk about, Kingsman? Now, Lizzie and I both said we hadn't seen the original one.
Yeah. Oh.
You guys, you're missing out. We have to see it.
Well, we made a pact, so we're going to see it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we did. Pinky swear. Virtual pinky swear, Lou.
Yep. Gotcha.
I mean, the first Kingsman is just such a fun movie. And I'll admit, I did not see it in the theaters. I ended up seeing it, you know, streaming or pay-per-view or something like that. It didn't do as well in the theaters, but kind of hit big afterwards. Very similar to the first John Wick film.
Sure.
Haven't seen that.
So it kind of became a little culty. You know, Samuel L. Jackson is in the first one, playing a totally different role than what we usually see him in. And it's such a fun movie. It's a twist on a spy thing. So you get a lot of hints of James Bond in it. But the movie does not take itself seriously. So it's a lot of fun. And this trailer has, the Kingsmen, which is a group that is in England, in this film has them working with the Statesmen, which is a group from the U.S.
With Channing, right? Channing Tatum is a Statesman?
Yes.
Love that. And that's perfect casting.
Yeah, so we have a lot of returning characters from the first film, and we just have this pulling together, and you know, you see you have the similarities in mission and the enough similarities in culture, but then you have those differences in culture and how they do things. And just from what they show in the trailer and these little snippets of discussion and stuff, it's just a really another great fun movie. So I am absolutely looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a good time.
I will say Colin Firth is a huge draw for me because he's my Mr. Darcy. He's like my favorite Darcy of all time. So the fact that he's in it is a huge draw for me, and it's surprising that I didn't see it in the theaters. It's just one that I missed. Christmas is tough because, you know, and I think Kingsman came out around Christmas, if I'm remembering correctly.
You could be right.
Yeah, I think it did because that's a tough time. Usually there's like, you know, lately it's been like Star Wars or The Hobbit or like all those big movies, and we go to see movies as a family. And so if it doesn't, usually if it's not one of those big movies around Christmas time, then mm-hmm. I'm already on to like the January New Year's release and I missed it. So I think if I'm remembering correctly, it was like around Christmas or Thanksgiving, and we do like a big family thing. So if it's that opening weekend, then forget it. It has a lot of competition. So I think that might have been why I missed it.
Sure.
And I just don't know why I never caught back up, because, like I said, I love Colin Firth so much, so I need to watch it. But Lou and I in our pact, we're going to see it.
Yes.
Colin Firth is an actor that he always surprises me. He's kind of under my radar. I don't see films because of him, but then when he's in them, it just always surprises me that, oh yeah, hey, he's good. And he does well in this movie. So, he's not a draw for me, but I definitely appreciate him being on the cast.
Yeah, he is the radar for me. He's the radar, the only radar. He's wonderful. Older, handsome gentleman boyfriend.
Okay, so wrapping things up, we should go through a few quick TV things then. Some things that stood out for me for trailers and stuff that they showed. First off, Stranger Things.
Yes.
Season 2 looks pretty
cannot
cool.
Cannot wait for that.
I really enjoyed season 1. I don't think I was as into it as some people were out there. I thought it was good. It kept me watching. I'm looking forward to season 2 now that season 1 kind of sucked me in a little bit more than I thought it would have originally. But, you know, this trailer looks pretty cool.
I loved season 1, and I don't like scary things, I don't like American Horror Story. I'll never watch it. It's not my jam. I think it's terrifying. And so I think hearing about it, I was like, if it's scary, I'm not gonna like it. So I waited a little bit, and then my friend was like, no, it's more like X-Files-y, like scary, that kind of thing. And I was like, okay, so, cause mm-hmm. I love X-Files. So then I fell in love with it. I love the cast. I love Eleven. I love their whole dynamic. I love like just, I just everything, like Winona, like making a comeback, like nobody's business. And like, I just loved it. And so I'm so pumped for season 2. So pumped. So yeah.
Okay, cool. Westworld season 2 had some, stuff shown, brief little teaser trailer, I would say. I wouldn't say it's a trailer because they really didn't give us anything.
I didn't watch this one because I didn't finish season 1, so I don't want to be spoiled.
Oh, so neither one of you finished season 1?
I haven't yet, no.
Yeah, no. Wow.
See, that was one that just kept me watching every week. I am so looking forward to seeing season 2 of Westworld.
Yeah, I really liked it. I don't have HBO, so a friend of mine was like making sure I could watch the episodes, and then the friend moved away, and it was like halfway through the season, and I was like, what am I gonna do? So now I just am like not haven't watched it, so I'm trying to like figure out. Although I do watch Game of Thrones with my cousin, but we don't watch Westworld, so actually right after this, I'm going to watch Game of Thrones after we record, so. Because I got to catch up on last night's episode. But so I didn't watch this trailer, but I really loved what I saw of Westworld. So I'm excited to catch up on it and then watch season two. So I think I'm going to do that back to back. So it's all one continuous thing.
That's wise. Yeah. Anything that has a cliffhanger like that. If you can avoid the cliffhanger, just go right into season two. I think that's an awesome way to do it.
Yes. So. Especially with HBO and their long, like, stuff in between. You have to wait 12 years. So I like to hold off.
True. See, Walking Dead season 8. I think I stopped watching during season 6, so I don't know. I got tired of Walking Dead. Are you guys still both active watchers?
Oh, I am.
Are you?
I love Walking Dead. Yeah, really? I'm behind on season 7 again. I just got off schedule. It's once I get off, like, I'm like, well, whatever. I'll catch up later. So
I kept up with it until the whole Negan thing happened, and that was really exciting. But I stopped watching it just. Basically, on the premise of they're not giving us anything. It's like a whole season goes by and nothing happens. I'm like,
but that was all last season, not season 6. That was season 7.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah. So I stopped watching the beginning of last season. I saw the very when they came back after the whole cliffhanger thing. I saw what happened and I just stopped watching.
I actually stopped after that episode too. I was a little pissed about that episode because I really felt like it was a huge buildup. And it should have happened in the end of the last season so that we could recover. And because we all knew it was going to happen, don't do that. Just do it.
Right.
And it's not shocking. It's not a shocking death because you did this whole thing.
You had
and
a
so
year
then,
to wait for it, or, you know, 6 months
well,
to wait for
and then
it,
you have a whole, it's not like Lost where you have the 3 months and the water cooler and you literally have no idea. There's a comic book about this. There's a graphic novel. So all the graphic novel people were like, well, it's either this person. And so all of the conversation.
Yeah, but
I think,
made some departures from the comic too, though. I mean, well, I read a lot of the comics and stopped doing that too, but.
I agree, but I think what ruined it for me was that everybody came out of the woodwork with their theories and with what they know, and I think it didn't do the same as, like, other shows where fan theories really fuel the excitement. I think it, like, and then when the episode hit, I was like, freaking A, I'm out. Like, I need to take a break. And so, I don't know why. Usually I don't have as strong reactions like that. Like, obviously people die, like, whatever, but I was pissed about that one, so I took a break. And so I haven't come back to it. I will because I really love Walking Dead. I love Daryl and Rick and Michonne. They're my three favorites. So I do want to catch back up, but I needed a break. I was pissed.
No, I get it. I get it. I just stopped because it seemed like, you know, season, you know, 6, season 5, season 4, nothing really happened. The story didn't move along for me. There was no development. There was no change. I'm like, okay, I think I got to get – you know, when I find myself backing up on my DVR and forcing myself to watch something, I'm like, okay, I think I need to stop watching it. So,
yeah, you can't force it.
Yeah, it shouldn't be a chore to watch something you want to watch. So I'm like, okay, I'll stop.
Right.
Yeah, I've overall enjoyed it. It's had its ups and downs. Mm-hmm. I've ended up taking some breaks in it, like particularly after the you know, Negan – episode where he, you know, bashed people. My wife refused to watch it for a few weeks. She needed some recovery time.
It was horrifying.
It was pretty brutal. Yeah,
it was tough. And then, you know, but then she got back into it and we kept watching. I will say, you know, this trailer I think was crap. It starts off kind of cool with the, you know, black screen and you hear Negan talking in the background, and then the rest of the trailer is Rick killing people. Which obviously we know, you know, hey, the war is coming.
Right.
And we know that that's going to happen, but it just wasn't that compelling to me. But, you know, all in all, The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead both had a pretty big footprint at Comic-Con. Mm. Fear the Walking Dead, I watched the first season. It was okay. I never went back to it after the first season, so I'm just really not into it. But
I really liked Fear the Walking Dead. I think the thing that's tough with that is that I think Fear the Walking Dead came out when season 6, we were on season 6 of Walking Dead, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
So you've had 6 years of figuring out how to deal with the zombie apocalypse business, right? Like 6 years, so we know how to handle them. Then Fear the Walking Dead comes along and is like starts all over again and makes the mistakes that we've had seen 6 years of people learning from. And so right. I think for me, I was like, are you freaking kidding? Don't go out there. Like, you're so stupid. Like, where's Rick? Rick would tell you not to do this. You're so stupid. Don't do that. And so I think to have gone back and sort of rewind everything that we've learned and like everything, I think that right. was very frustrating.
Well, you know, I started watching Fear the Walking Dead because it was supposed to be, you know, kind of pre
right.
Walking Dead and what was right. going to lead up to it and how civilization fell apart. And that kind of thing really interests me. I mean, how quickly is society going to deteriorate? What effects does this have on the sure. general public? And when they got through that in like two episodes, I'm like, okay, so now we're just doing The Walking Dead over again.
Right.
You know, right. I'm like, okay, I don't need to see this anymore. So I think I watched the whole first season and I stopped. But.
And I did like the characters. So I thought the character development and who they placed in there is key for that show because it is like Walking Dead Redux. So it has to be about characters because that's what Walking Dead's about. It's not necessarily about zombies. It hasn't been about zombies for a long time.
Right.
The Walking Dead aren't the zombies. They're the people, which is the interesting part of the show. And once you realize that it's not about zombies, it's about how they're all the Walking Dead. That is fascinating to me. And that's what's kept me coming back for so many years, even though there are disappointments and it'll go into a lull or to lose me, but I still have a pull to want to catch up. Whereas it's just something with the Fear of the Walking Dead of like, it's just completely rewinding, like going back on everything we know. And it's just, I was like, I can't with this show. Like all of the characters I already loved for 6 years went through this. So I'm not going to go through it with you yahoos. Like,
right, right.
Like no, enough of you.
Totally agree. Totally yeah. agree.
So it needed an extra like thing and it didn't have. So, I mean, I definitely won't catch up on Fear the Walking Dead because I just didn't care about it as much. But Walking Dead, I will catch up on because I do care about the characters enough.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Okay. So we had a Stargate trailer.
Yes. Stargate Origins.
You're right. And this is a new series now based in the Stargate universe, kind of going mm-hmm. back to the beginning again, right?
Yeah. Apparently. Well, I say I never watched Stargate. It's just one that I missed. I don't know why.
Okay.
It's on the short list of like series that I must watch because everybody recommends them to me all the time. And
yeah,
whatever
I
say.
Definitely go back and watch at some point. It's some good sci-fi. I'm not sure how well it holds up now over the time. I mean, it's kind of dated, well, I guess, but,
I think
Richard
it'll
Anderson
work for
was
me.
Amazing in the role and they had a lot of fun. So
I think I can, you know, when you're like suggesting things to people and you're like, it was made in the 90s, like, be careful. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, you might not like this season because it's so dated. But for me, because I've watched so many of those and grew up watching those, I like to go back and watch like the early, early graphics and that never loses me. And things that are dated don't really lose me. You know what I mean? So
okay.
I definitely will go back and watch it. I love sci-fi. I'm a huge Star Trek fan, everything else. And I think this obviously is in my wheelhouse. I just didn't watch it. So, but that's just like, how many Stargates are there? I mean, I have so many to catch up on. There's like Atlantis and the other one and
there's
now Origins.
There's three or four, isn't there now? Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot. I have a lot to catch up on.
I think there were three TV series and then
yeah.
the movie.
Because it was Stargate, there was Stargate Atlantis, and then...
What was the other one?
Yeah, I think there was one more.
Yeah,
I love the movie. I love the original movie.
The movie is awesome, yep.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed the first Stargate series. I can't say I watched every episode or kept up with it, but I enjoyed it and had Richard Dean Anderson. I was a big MacGyver fan.
Yeah.
Right.
And I thought he was great in the series. So I watched it when I could. And I thought it was pretty good. I the premise of it is pretty fascinating to me. So I really enjoy it. I like the characterizations.
Stargate Universe was the other one.
Yes.
So. Okay. Let's see here. So Inhumans had some
yeah.
stuff released.
Yes.
This trailer looks pretty cool. I don't know much about the Inhumans storylines at all, so from comics or anything else, so I'm excited to see what this is going to be like.
Pumped for this trailer. Love this trailer so much.
I like the puppy dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. You and, know, I, oh, go ahead, Lizzie.
Oh, I was just, no. You say, you go, you go.
I was just going to say, it looks like a lot of fun. I'm a big fan of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Me too.
And so I'm looking forward to kind of the different perspective that Inhumans brings. The interesting thing here is that the first couple episodes are being done as a film experience in the theater. Mm-hmm. And I believe it's IMAX only, which does have me traveling about 45 minutes to get to an IMAX theater. But,
ooh.
You know, it's not too bad, I guess.
Yep.
But, you know, so we're definitely going to, you know, my wife and I are going to go out and see that. And then the rest of it is going to essentially be the later summer season, kind of like what they did with Carter, with yeah. Agent Carter. So
mm-hmm. I'm excited to see how they cross into each other and how Quake will fit in, you know, now that she's fully superpowered. And because we were talking about a little bit before about how it is on ABC, so same network has a lot of potential for that. Which I'm excited about. I was nervous if it was going to be on another network, how that would have worked. But I have, you know, like I have all the faith in the world in Marvel, and everything that they've done has kept me a major fangirl. So I'm excited for this. I love the tone of it. I feel like it's different. It's different from what we've seen, even of like the Defenders series on Netflix. So it's got its own flavor. And I'm interested to see how that'll weave into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Pumped mm-hmm. to see some Ramsay Bolton in there from Game of Thrones. I forget the actor's name, but I love him. He's horrible. Horrible on Game of Thrones, but I'm excited to see him on something else. Although he looks like a bad guy on this too, so. you know, sometimes you're just really good at being bad.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to how they connect this. I hope that it just doesn't kind of sit out there on its own.
Yeah.
You know, even Agent Carter still had the connection, even though it was, you know, in the 40s, we know what that connection was. And it brought in Stark, and it brought in Jarvis. And so we knew how it connected to, you know, to the MCU and such.
Well, and they did a really good job weaving that in, too. I mean, I know Agent Carter didn't last, which sucked because I still hope she comes back one day, but I loved that show so much.
I did too. I thought it was great.
So great. And so I loved how they weaved it into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Even given the timing difference, like you were saying. And so I think that they can have a lot of potential with this, and especially with Quake being a full, and you know, she's an Inhuman. She's an Inhuman. She has to be a part of this.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense.
And I think even, you know, the Defenders group being on Netflix, yes, I would love to see them in some way, shape, or form kind of become part of the MCU. You know, the Defenders, the individual shows in the Defenders have reference events right. in the MCU. So there's that connection going forward, but I'd also like to see the backward connection into them. You know, and they don't necessarily have to, like, be major characters, but I wouldn't mind seeing an appearance or some more overt references in the films to the existence of, you know, Daredevil or Jessica Jones or someone
and,
like that.
And we might still get that.
Yeah, no, I've actually heard that Defenders is going to play a part in Infinity War. So I mean, I don't know if that's...
Really?
Yes. And so I'm excited about that.
Hmm.
Oh, I am too. I think that's fantastic. And I believe in the Defenders comic, I believe it's the one of the bigger ties is through Doctor Strange.
Hmm. I mean, it doesn't make sense for them not to be. They have to be. I mean, they can't not be a part of the greater universe, especially how strong they are and how great their storytelling is. There's just no way. But I got to find out where I heard that.
Well, you know, in Infinity War, obviously a lot of this takes place off Earth. But there are portions of this that do take place on Earth. You know, there's portions of it that take place in New York City.
Right.
I you know, you guys heard, I got to walk through one of the sets.
Yes.
You know, that's New York City. So that obviously I think is a great opportunity. You know, we don't have to send Daredevil to space, but that's our opportunity, I think, to bring these characters into this whole thing. And even if it's just small parts, and hopefully they do, they also use those actors. Because I know, like in, Justice League, they're not using the Flash from the TV series, right?
No, well, that's a different actor. Yeah, but that's a whole different thing because their TV universe and their movie universe aren't linked. And that's, and even though.
Yeah, but there's no reason why they shouldn't be linked, though. Is that, and that was the whole point. When they didn't cast him as Flash, I was like, oh, really? I mean.
Well, I agreed, but that's because DC isn't. It's just they're not doing what Marvel has done in breaking that barrier. Whereas even though the Defenders has been a little separated from everything, they're very much still a part of the greater universe. And everybody across the board has said that, even though we haven't seen it, they make references. They're a part of the greater universe. They're not going to recast them. I mean, they've casted people based on if they ever use them in film, they're going to use them for that.
Yeah.
So
I think that makes a lot of sense.
And it's because they've done this whole, they just are on another whole other plane, which is why I love them so much. But, they're not going to recast, but it's just a question of like when that crossover will happen because they can't, the tone, I get why not, because the tone of Defenders versus Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the movies are so different. So, yes. You know, it's why Superman had to be so much darker to fit into Batman's world. It's weird. It would be strange to see Luke Cage show up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Their shows are such a different tonal thing, and so the shift would be really weird. But not that it couldn't be done. I just think that's why they haven't done it.
Yeah, see, I don't think it's that much of a stretch to make it happen. It's just
the big thing is
that the Defenders are essentially New York City bound, and very specifically, you know, most of that is in the Hell's Kitchen area of New York City. And that's kind of where those characters are grounded in and largely have been in the comics. I mean, Daredevil is probably the one who's done the most outside of New York City and a little bit with Iron Fist as well. But by and large, these characters are grounded there. So really, you have to bring the rest of the universe to them. It's kind of a stretch to pull them out of that area because it's just so not likely to happen. But if you have storylines, whether it's through Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I think would be fantastic, you know, let's do an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Defenders crossover. And, you know, or if it's in something like Infinity War, hey, if we're going to bring the fight to New York City, these people would absolutely show up. Absolutely.
Right.
You know, if they don't show up, I'd be sitting there wondering, hey, where the hell were they? You know, we have the Defenders of New York City, the Defenders of Hell's Kitchen, who have, you know, been fighting international organized crime and all sorts of other things. But when, you know, some alien shows up and starts blowing up the city, they're nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
That to me is a bigger stretch.
Yeah.
And that to me is actually like if they miss that opportunity, that's the kind of parochial DC stuff that we're seeing.
Right.
Because DC misses those opportunities. And it's like, to me, DC, and I don't mean to disparage it because I think they are evolving. But to me, DC is, the DC universe is still in grade school. The MCU is in grad school.
Yeah.
So there's a huge difference.
But they're catching up. I mean, they're doing some of the right things. Learning. So,
yeah.
I mean, we could spend a whole episode talking about how DC really needs to stop trying to compete because they have their own flavor that they could have been working with from the beginning out of the gate and they missed their chance.
Step one, drop Superman.
No, step one, take Smallville and launch Tom Welling as Superman from Smallville because it would have been amazing. Don't get me started. Next is Gotham season 4. Another show no one cares about.
I stopped watching this after season 2. Wait, Tim, you still watching?
I am. And for as critical as I just was of DC,
You like Dunkirk, so yeah, okay.
Gotham, I think, is fantastic. It's And I know a bunch of like the hardcore DC people complain about it because it is so outside of what they know to be canonical. But I think it is such a fun ride and it is so twisted. And yes, some of it is very predictable and there's other things that make your eyes roll. But I really like the characters. I love the main characters. I think the overall storylines are really good. It's a fun show. It's a fun show. I'm still watching it and I can't wait for season four.
You know, I really liked it too. And I just dropped off halfway through season two and then just didn't catch back up, but I will because I really did enjoy it. And I think it's a very interesting, unique take on the Batman universe, and Bruce's story and everything. Yeah. So I actually really did like it.
Yeah. I was just kind of giving you a little bit of a razzing for it, but I did really enjoy it too.
Me too.
I got through seasons one and two. I got behind on season three, or maybe I missed some episodes and couldn't find them on my DVR. So I kind of never went back to it again, but you're right. I have to go back and look at it again. Cause it was fun.
One of the most compelling reasons to watch Gotham is Marina Baccarin.
I know. I love her.
Yeah.
Talk
about she's got a foot in both universe. That's really funny in Marvel and DC.
Yeah. Because she's also in Deadpool.
Yeah. Right.
Now speaking specifically to this trailer, I have to say similar to the Walking Dead trailer, this trailer is crap.
Oh.
It is a 5.5 minute long trailer.
That's horrible.
4.5 minutes of it are nothing but a recap of season three. The last minute of it is season four stuff, and it just is the most obscure crap that they could possibly put in. It is not a compelling trailer at all. It is a huge disappointment. By all means, go ahead and watch it. I'm never going to discourage anyone from looking at these things, but I think that you'll probably walk away saying, what happened to the last 5.5 minutes of my life?
Well, I also think a 5 minute trailer is like, what is wrong with you? Stop it.
Yeah
that's not a trailer. That's a mini movie. Like enough of you.
I agree.
Which brings us to the Orville.
Seth MacFarlane. I love that guy.
Yeah.
Love.
Yeah. This is going to be hilarious.
Hilarious.
Yeah. This is the greatest tongue-in-cheek Star Trek type of show, and it looks fantastic. It just looks so funny. Everything Seth MacFarlane does, almost everything, is comedic gold. The trailer's great. Wonderful. I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be fun.
It's it reminds me of Galaxy Quest, which I love. Love that movie so much. I'm a huge Tim Allen fan.
The TV series version of that, so
yeah, love it. So jazzed for this movie. Trailer
especially
looks great.
Since I can't watch the new Star Trek series on television, so I might as well watch something else. I think they're positioning this really well. to take the fans that aren't going to pay for CBS All Access.
It's really unfortunate.
Discovery, which is looking really, really good from what I've seen so far, but
yeah, it does.
I just really don't want to pay for it. I might end up paying for it, but I hope not.
No one's paying for that.
I think we actually missed that trailer in our list.
Well, was there anything released at Comic-Con?
I think there was a Star Trek trailer released at Comic-Con.
Well, we've seen a lot of footage from Star Trek, though, so I don't know that it would have been anything. Is it something completely groundbreaking?
I can't remember if it was from Comic-Con or not, but there was some new footage released recently.
I just think you're going to I just worry about that show, and I want it to fly so much because I love Star Trek, but I just,
No, actually, Star Trek Discovery official Comic-Con trailer 2. Yeah, okay, there was one.
Yep. So, yeah, 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Did you guys see that one?
I did. We didn't even know it came out.
No, I've never seen it, but I didn't think it was from Comic-Con. It looks amazing.
I didn't see it.
Yeah.
I think I discounted it, too, because I don't really want to pay for it.
I'm not paying for it.
I'm sick enough of paying for my cable bill and my Netflix bill and my Hulu bill. I'm like,
it's because you got to drop that cable bill. No one has cable anymore. Lou, come on. You don't need cable.
I'm hoping that CBS realizes their mistake and puts it on the network.
Just put it on the network, CBS.
I hope so, yeah.
Yeah.
This is my letter.
What I'm holding out for.
Here's my letter to CBS. Dear CBS.
Although I'm a little concerned about what they do with the Klingons again. They look different again.
I know. I read an article. Well, I didn't read it. I read the title of an article. And I was like, I'll read that later. About the reasoning behind the different look. And then I just never read it. So there's a reason out there, apparently. I don't know what it is.
We already had the first one. And then they had that one episode of DS9 where he's like, yeah, we don't talk about that anymore.
Right.
Like, okay, so what was it? Yeah. They handled it pretty well. So yeah, we'll see. I'm looking forward to seeing the initial pilot, but probably that's
if there is a universe that lives and thrives on inconsistency.
Oh, for sure.
It's Star Trek. I mean, they, for sure. And for as much as I really enjoy Star Trek, they just can never seem to get their story straight. I mean, if someone wants to have a discussion on Star Trek canon, no. I mean, you simply can't.
I think it's more like they're okay with rewriting their own rules, which is a more generous way to put it.
Yeah. Yep.
It's like they're exactly. like, okay, we did that, but whatever. Let's do this. And everyone's like, but that nobody cares. Let's just do it. Whatever.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So they're really okay with rewriting, which I'm fine with to a certain point. So, I mean, as long as it fits, like we said, as long as it fits in, as long as it's something I can get behind, I don't care if you change your own rules. It's your show. Do whatever you want. But, like, you know, I don't know.
As long as it's enjoyable and I can still have fun watching it, I will watch it. So
I think especially for all of us who love TNG and Worf and really grew up with a very distinctive look for our Klingons, like, you know, it's like, wait, that's what?
Yeah, so, right.
Yeah. Because I love Worf so much.
Okay, so I think that brings us to about the end of our Comic-Con wrap-up.
Wonder Woman 2 confirmed.
Which is a big surprise to everybody. I mean, who thought they'd make a second Wonder Woman movie? I never would have imagined it.
So shocking. That movie did not do good.
Seeing how that's the best making movie of the year so far, so.
Yeah.
Unless you guys have anything else to add, I think we can wrap this show up, put a bow on it, and call it done.
Yeah.
What color is the bow?
Red.
Oh, okay. I like it. It's all in the details.
Well, if you have any questions for us or want to comment on what color the bow should be, you can send us an email, randomchatter@randomchatter.com. Best way to
do a poll.
Do a poll on the website. Yeah, there you go.
You can also find us online, facebook.com/randomchatternetwork, and on Twitter, where we will do our bow poll. I can't say it right. At Random Chatter for the general network business. And I'm at Nerd in the City. Come talk to me. I love being on Twitter. Lou?
I'm at Lou Secchi. My name, just Lou Secki.
Really had to stretch for that one, didn't you, Lou?
I know. I did.
And Tim?
I am at Qui-Gon Tim. That's Tim with two M's.
Tim with two M's.
Oh, hey, it's me.
Oh, Qui-Gon Tim. Put those two M's to use, man.
Yeah, I know it. I know it. Make sure to visit us at our website, randomchatter.com. You can find all of our shows there across the board of all sorts of various entertainment and wonderful, delicious nerddom types of things. Check out our other shows. We've got Echo Base, our Star Wars show. We have we talked about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We have a show for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We have one for The Flash. We have one for Green Arrow. We have long-form interview shows. We have shows on The Expanse. We have all sorts of fun stuff. So check out what we have and listen.
And once you've done all of that, spread the word and leave some reviews on iTunes and Stitcher and tell your friends about all the wonderful podcasts you just discovered that we have to offer for you.
And in addition to that, we certainly appreciate your financial support. That kind of support helps us to basically keep on doing what it is that we're doing. Also paid for Lou's brand new Mercedes.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Seriously. None of this money actually goes to any pay or anything like that for us. This is the stuff that keeps the lights on. It pays for our server, for our website. It pays for data storage so you can get that archive of all of our shows. It pays for various other things for the network. So patreon.com/randomchatter. make sure that you check it out. We have some fairly new and restructured perks in there, things that you can get for your contribution. The minimal contribution is $1 a month. And for that, you probably get, quite honestly, the best perk, which is access to our Slack channel. We mentioned Slack. If you've been listening to our shows, we tend to reference Slack and people and discussions in Slack in darn near every single show. I don't think we've mentioned, oh, should I just say it? Should I say his name?
No. No, we can go out of pill without it.
Not
oh,
really?
Oh.
Oh.
Sure.
Okay.
That
okay.
perk. That perk is a lot of bang for your buck, is basically what Tim said.
It absolutely is. You get to get in there, you hang out with hosts and with staff and with a lot of other fans and listeners.
Certainly with the three of us.
Yeah. All sorts of different topics and discussions and really fun stuff. So $1 a month gets you right into Slack, and it's a great thing, and we greatly appreciate it.
And you can come see Tim abuse me in Slack all the time.
Me? No, no, no.
Yeah.
I did, like, threats of violence by Liz.
Oh, yeah, that's the case, please.
It's like that Thanksgiving dinner with your family. This is what it comes down to.
Yeah, that is what it's like. We are a family.
That is a
Tim's
great
the
description.
Tim's the stepchild, though.
What?
Yeah. Not that stepchildren aren't well beloved, but you know.
He sits at the kids' table.
Let's see, who else here has purple hair?
I have pink hair.
Tim, do you have purple hair? No, yeah. I don't have purple hair either. So
I have no hair. So
that's why I don't have purple hair. I have pink hair. I don't know what you're talking about. Get your colors right.
Adjust your monitor, Tim.
Yes.
Okay, guys. Well, thanks. It was a lot of fun talking tonight. I had a lot of fun doing this San Diego Comic Con wrap up. I wish we had actually gone to San Diego Comic Con, but you know.
Hey, maybe next year.
Maybe next year. Well, until next week, guys, have a good week and take care.
Bye.